who stood at the gate of the year. And then the words go on. I'm afraid I haven't memorized the words, but you know the piece I mean. We all come to points of decision. We have to decide which gate to go through in life. Is there someone there to go through the gate with us and on the way? Is the Lord there? If we're Christian people, we know that the Lord is there to take us through the gate. That is to say, the Lord is there if we choose the right gate to go through. And our text today is about a gate, two gates. And we have a choice, which of these two gates to go through. It's in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." These words of Jesus come near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and I read selections from that sermon earlier in this service. And now near the end of the sermon, Jesus comes to the crunch, and he presents his hearers with a choice. Are we going to decide to follow Jesus or not? He has spoken, as we read, you'll remember, he has spoken about true blessedness or true happiness. Those who are poor in spirit, that means those who acknowledge their spiritual need. Those who are meek, that means those who are strong but they don't show off their strength. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who long for the goodness and righteousness of God to come to the world. They have a great hunger for it. Those who are merciful, they will be shown mercy. Those who care for others in need, whether or not their problems are their own fault, that is true mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, that is those who follow the Lord in sincerity of heart, with clear and good and pure motives. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, etc. And then Jesus has gone on to challenge his hearers that their character should be, as it were, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are to be the salt, that is to say, we are to be the preservative in the world. Christian people and their character and life must be that which preserves the world from going rotten. And so if the world does go rotten and decays into war and crime and death, the question is, where was the salt? Where were the Christian people? Were they following the Lord or not? Then Jesus spoke about true righteousness, a righteousness which isn't just the obeying of this or that commandment, but a matter of the heart. In our attitude to others, above all, an attitude of love, even to those who do not love us. Then he warned us against merely making a show of good works and religion, but being sincere. He taught us the simple and sincere way of prayer. He's told us that our ambitions, our treasures, should be on things that are eternal, not things that fade away. He's taught us about faith, that we shouldn't be consumed with anxiety and fear, but be humbly trusting our Father in heaven. He's warned us against judging others. He's told us that we mustn't have a judgmental spirit, but instead he taught us the golden rule, to do to others as we would have them do to us. And now, having spoken those words of the Sermon on the Mount, he presents us with the choice. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There is an inescapable choice before every man and woman. Perhaps we human beings would prefer more choices. Or perhaps we would prefer not to have to choose at all. But Jesus presents us with two ways, two gates. We have to go either on one or the other. There's no room for negotiation or compromise. Firstly, there's the broad way. It means the spacious or roomy way, or the easy way. There's plenty of room on the broad way. Plenty of room for many different opinions and many different models. It's the way of permissiveness, the way of the permissive society, where there's room for anything goes. It's such a broad way that it has no boundaries or curbs. Travelers on the broad way follow their own inclinations, all the desires of their sinful human hearts. There's nothing to be obeyed and nothing to be believed. If they're in the mood, they'll believe this teaching for a while, and then they'll discard it later when they're not in the mood. If they're in the mood, they'll follow this good way for a while, and then when they're not in the mood, they'll do something else. And then there's the narrow way. That's not for narrow-minded people, but it means narrow in the sense that it's got clear boundaries. They're clearly marked. There are clear beliefs. They're not fudged or compromised or watered down. There are clear standards of character and behavior. Jesus says that the broad way is easy. What does he mean when he says it's easy? He means that the broad way is marked by all the superficial things in life, selfishness, hypocrisy, false ambition, being judgmental to others. These things that come so easily to us, come so naturally to our sinful hearts. It's easy for us to live a superficial life. It's easy for us to be selfish, hypocritical. It's easy for us to seek to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth. It's easy for us to love, to condemn others. These things are easy for us as human beings. No effort is needed to practice them, because we simply do what we want to do when we feel like it, when we're in the mood. That's easy. The narrow way is hard, Jesus says. He means in the sense that we have to learn and to strive to be followers of Christ. We have to take time. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to confess our failures. We have to make ourselves acquainted with the Word of God. If we merely drift through life, we can be sure we're on the broad way. Then there are two gates. There's two ways, and now there are two gates, which are the entrances to the two ways. There's the wide gate leading to the broad way, and there's the small gate leading to the narrow way. The wide gate has no limit to the luggage that can go through it. When you go through the wide gate, you don't have to leave anything behind, not even your sin. We can take all our self-righteousness and pride and false ambition through the wide gate. There's plenty of room for everything. The gate leading to the hard way is a small gate, Jesus says. We have to look for it. We have to seek the Lord, meaning that when we come to the Lord, we must come with a certain earnestness. It's a small gate, so we have to leave behind our selfish ambition, our judgmental nature, our covetousness. We have to deny self and follow Christ. Then there are the two destinations to which these two ways lead. There's destruction and there's life. And this is a theme of other parts of the Bible, including the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." And then verse 19, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live." The choice before us is life or destruction. Life means all that goes with abundant life, love and courage and strength and health, joy and service and hope and faith and beauty and peace and blessedness. All these things that come from God. You see, although the narrow way begins at the small gate, its destiny is broad. For the life of eternity is full of love and grace and peace. And although the broad way begins broad, its destination is narrow. Its destination ends in nothingness. Its destination is outer darkness and non-being. If we turn our backs and go the broad way, then we go to where God is not. That is where there is no love or beauty or truth or joy or peace or hope or blessedness. It's what the Bible calls eternal destruction. Then Jesus tells us that there are two groups of people. There's the many who are going on the broad way, and there's the few, he says, going on the narrow way. The broad way is a busy thoroughfare. The narrow way, those who travel on it are few. In Jesus' vision, he sees the multitudes of people on the broad way, apparently no thought in their minds for their dreadful destination. They think there's safety in numbers, but there isn't. Whereas on the narrow road we have a happy band of pilgrims, backs turned to the ways of the world, heading to that which God has prepared for those who love him. Now these verses seem to say that only a few will be saved. Now that's not necessarily so, because we can look at other scriptures, for example, Revelation 7 verse 9, where we read, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, and people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." Jesus himself said his death would ransom many people. When the disciples in another place asked Jesus, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" He didn't answer their question directly. He didn't satisfy their curiosity, but simply said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate." After all, why should we be curious as to how many will be saved? It's not our business. We don't need to worry that God will be unfair or unjust or unmerciful. Do we think that we know something about humanity that he does not know? It's not for us to speculate. It's simply up to us to make sure that we enter by the door, the gate. Something that may distract us from the true gate is the teachings of the false prophets. So in the very next verse, verse 15 of Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." So Jesus warns us about the false prophets. They really exist. There's no point in putting a notice up, "Beware of the dog," if you only have a pussycat or a budgerigar. So when Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets," they were there. In those days, they spoke to people from the tops of houses and on the street corners. Today, they speak to us in the newspapers, the television, the radio, and many magazines. They try to turn us away from the way of the Lord. They teach us that all roads lead to God. They tell us not to be concerned. They tell us that the broad way also leads to life. That it doesn't matter if we're selfish and hypocritical and don't believe anything. It doesn't matter if we simply do our own thing, because all roads lead to God, they say. Jesus says they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They may seem reasonable. They may wear nice suits. They may be very charming. They may be very educated. They may have doctorates and PhDs after their names. They could even be doctors of divinity. They may even be a bishop. They could be a former moderator. But Jesus says they're ravening wolves, using the sheep for their own interests, not caring for the destiny of the people of God. Jesus says, "Beware of them. Instead, go through the small door." And what is the small door? Well, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. For us, it is simply to humbly and sincerely kneel there before the Lord. Make ourselves small, as it were, before him. Are you worried that it will be a hard way walking with the Lord? Well, it is in one sense, as I've said, but the Lord walks with us. He is the man who stands at the gate to walk with us. And although the way may seem hard, yoked to him, we will find it easier than we expected. For he said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly look to you and to your Son Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Take us by the hand and lead us into this new year of our life, and lead us beyond death into resurrection and glory. We're sorry if we've been selfish or hypocritical or judgmental. We're sorry if we've failed you in other ways too. Cleanse us anew and renew us, heart and mind and soul. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.